CSOs in the Western Balkans didn't really have the capacities to tackle directly different digital issues connected to the digital agenda. This is why through ITSEDA we established and built the capacities of a whole network of over 50 CSOs and media members. And this network now functions individually or together on shaping and implementing different aspects of the digital agenda in their countries.
Welcome to the Digital Government Podcast. Tune in to discover the future of governance and ways of getting there.
Welcome to the podcast of the eGovernance Academy. We are here together with Mila Josifovska-Danilovska, Program Coordinator at the Metamorphosis Foundation from North Macedonia. And the topic of today is how are the civil society organizations in the Western Balkans doing when it comes to digital agenda? Welcome, Mila.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me.
And my name is Kristina Mend. I am the Senior Expert in the eGovernance Academy. It is my job to support public authorities and civil society organizations understand and design stakeholder engagement in digital transformation. The reason why Mila and I are having this podcast is that for a few years, we worked together with several other partners from the Western Balkan countries on a project called ICEDA, Increasing Civic Engagement in the Digital Agenda. And we thought that since the project ended in March this year, half a year later, it would be great to catch up and a little bit talk about what kind of impact this has had on the Western Balkan societies, what we learned, what has improved, what not, and what some of the key lessons are that we think the civil society organizations and also the public sector in the Western Balkan countries should think about or should plan or should work on. How does that sound, Mila?
Perfect. I'm ready to start.
Excellent. So let me first ask you, because you were at the birth of this idea, what was the need and initiative behind focusing on the role of civil society organizations in digital transformation in the Western Balkans?
Yes, well, sometime around 2018, the Western Balkan governments pledged to fulfill the commitments that arise from the digital agenda for the Western Balkan as a new initiative that aims to ensure that citizens of the region can fully reap out the benefits of digital transformation. What this pledge meant was that the citizens from the Western Balkans would have the skills to match the demands of the new economy, and that this initiative would help modernize the public administration, strengthen public security, increase connectivity, improve the business climate. Now, all of this was loosely known only to those who closely follow policies, who follow the EU integration process, and potentially those that may have accidentally stumbled upon the news on signing of this initiative without really understanding what it's about. So, overall, there was very little knowledge and information in the public about the digital agenda and what that meant for the ordinary citizen. This is why, through ICEDA or ICEDA, we worked on increasing the civic engagement in the promotion, the shaping, but also the implementation of the digital agenda for the Western Balkan in line with the citizens' needs. Or in other words, we leverage the potential of the civic sector in influencing the digital development in our country in favor of the citizens. Now, among the major activities that we conducted through a little over 3 years, we're providing a research called the Digital Agenda Observatory that basically monitored the implementation of the government development in our countries. We provided capacity building opportunities for many stakeholders, among which civil society, media, decision makers. In the end, we actually managed to expand the list of beneficiaries to other groups such as academia, the business sector, teachers who were very interested to learn more, citizens, youth, marginalized groups. And of course, we created this regional network of CSOs that advocated for a more inclusive and citizen-based digital transformation. Part of the network of the CSOs established 16 local e-government support centers that actually supported the citizens and vulnerable groups in using existing e-services, increasing their digital literacy, and many more.
So Mila, you and I, we were with this project from the very beginning. And one of the things that we discovered at the very early stage was also that the engagement of civil society organizations in policymaking and service design in general was not such a common practice in the Western Balkan countries. So we really had to start with that kind of, I wouldn't say basic, but very sort of comprehensive capacity building. How do you feel this ISEDA initiative helped that, or what kind of changes it brought along in general civil society organizations' engagement?
Yes, well, at the beginning in the Western Balkan countries that were included in this initiative, there was different political atmosphere on whether to, first of all, include a civil society sector in policymaking, e-service delivery or design, which I think through this initiative, we actually gave a push to the institutions to include us and to value our input, because, first of all, we have access to the expertise, but at the end of the day, we also have access to the citizens who are going to be the beneficiaries of those e-services. For North Macedonia, it was slightly easier for us to get involved in policymaking, mainly because we have been building this through ages. However, in other countries such as Serbia, institutions were slightly more closed and not so open to civil society meddling, in policymaking, for example. However, when it comes to capacities, CSOs in the Western Balkans didn't really have the capacities to tackle directly different digital issues connected to the digital agenda. This is why through ITSEDA we established and built the capacities of a whole network of over 50 CSOs and media members. And this network now functions individually or together on shaping and implementing different aspects of the digital agenda in their countries. Now, based on the network's effort, I can firmly say that we have successfully intervened in over 150 e-services or policies related to digital transformation. We haven't achieved getting the civil society sector to be the provider of these public e-services. However, we have intervened in many different ways, such as improving the privacy policies, actually digitalizing the e-services, commenting and giving inputs on their user-friendliness, and communicating the needs of the citizens for simplifying the service or making it more user-friendly, but also end-to-end. And of course, through all of our CSO efforts, the efforts of the sub-grantees that we built the capacities of, and of us, the partners, we've also intervened in policymaking. The digital transformation strategy of Montenegro was one very successful example, and it was fully built on the ITSEDA Research Digital Agenda Observatory in Montenegro. Another positive aspect is because we built the capacities of media organizations also. In North Macedonia, for example, we had this positive example of cooperation with Portalb, which created this investigative article that pointed out the senseless instructions from institutions that for obtaining one service, one needs to submit a birth certificate not older than 6 months. After the publication of this article and massive disseminating via social media, the Office for Management Registers actually decided that you only get born once, and birth certificate older than 6 months is not required. Actually, these are actually documents that they should get ex officio, because they should communicate among themselves.
Because this is exactly the reason why it makes sense to engage civil society organizations and through them citizens and citizens' opinions and suggestions, because it's not to criticize things, it's to improve things, right? And all those services are meant for the citizens of North Macedonia and Serbia and Albania and Kosovo and Montenegro. And sometimes I think we forget about that it's not, like I said, it's not to criticize, but it's to complement and to improve and to constantly, you know, raise the quality. Another interesting thing and learning that I had, and I would like love your comment to that, is that we also, it seems that when we talk about digital transformation or digital issues in general, then there is this sort of understanding that it's like a separate thing, you know, that these organizations deal with it who have word digital in their title or in their mission. Whereas the fact is that the digital agenda actually is a horizontal agenda, like human rights, you know, you have it in your foreign policy, in your health policy, in your social policy, in your housing policy, in your agriculture policy, and so on. And how do you feel? Did we manage to convince both the responsible institutions as well as CSOs that since we live in the digital world, no matter what we work on, digital is and probably, well, probably it will be part of everything we do, every policy and every service every project that we have. What do you think about that?
I think we started this effect of broadening the understanding of all stakeholders involved, not only institutions, but citizens, media, business sector. However, there's still a lot more to do because from my perspective, it's all about the mentality and the attitude that we actually encountered. When it comes to that, when we started the project, we actually understood that although progress has been made, we still remain stuck with a mentality that is difficult to adapt to new things or accept innovation, whether it's a public administration officer or an ordinary citizen. There was still that resistance to change, introducing novelties or in their life or work, or simply said agile working or agile learning and living. Now, of course, the policies and the regulations that we encountered were not really open to conducting processes digitally, horizontally speaking, all of them, which is why together with the institutions, we had to work on or at least advocate for more flexible and supportive frameworks, having the citizens in the center on various topics. As part of the network, we had organizations who haven't previously worked on digital issues per se, but they were much more focused on working with minorities, working with rural communities, working with young people on different aspects and topics. And they did understand that because society functions as it does, processes happen in parallel, offline and online, and they need to build their capacities in order to support their constituencies to protect their digital rights, but to also successfully and conscientiously function online.
Exactly, because if you don't, and people are left without access or knowledge or awareness or gadgets, basically they become digitally vulnerable and they become isolated. And this is one thing that we definitely do not want. And I believe that it's exactly the role of these kinds of organizations who work with minorities, who work with very rural organizations, with very specific groups, who can design perhaps the best responses to serve and empower their communities and their members and their constituents, is something that a public sector can never do, right? And businesses most likely are never interested. But in every project nowadays, it's very hard to imagine, or every service, that there is not a single digital component. Almost all of them have it, right? So it's like a human rights thing, you know. You have to have a digital right. But Mila, one thing I would want to ask you, like, the third big thing that I learned from this project, in addition to the institution's mindset and the CSO's capacity and engagement, is the understanding of cyber hygiene and cyber security. because it also seems that until certain time, this was seen as a tech thing. And then in the last years, it has very much become a cultural and social understanding that we are all vulnerable one way or another, but we can all do individually and organizationally and socially a lot to protect ourselves. EGA also has relevant projects in the Western Balkans and supports different Western Balkan countries in this cybersecurity thing. How do you think that the cyber hygiene and the understanding of responsibilities regarding cybersecurity changed because of ISEDA?
Yes, well, actually, when we started communicating the digital agenda and its different aspects, cybersecurity was detected as one of the key issues to be worked on multiple levels. It's evident that from our public education and awareness raising campaign that consisted of public webinars, public events that demystified different concepts that people were afraid of, such as artificial intelligence, are robots going to take over my job? Or 5G, is this going to affect my health? And then many other dialogues, but also articles, videos, animations, infographics, a glossary of terms in order to demystify all of these concepts and bring the digital transformation closer to the citizen so that they can understand it as daily part of their lives. I think we were rather successful in that. However, this was a 3-year initiative, and based on the political and social context that we worked in, I think that much more can be done. This initiative had a dominating and pioneering role. However, we should not, and of course we did not stop working when the project ended. The thing is that what most instigated the interest of citizens in their cyber hygiene was when you're personally affected with the issue. Citizens are prone to scams because they lack the digital literacy. They did not have the basic understanding of privacy and personal data protection, for example. When it comes to other aspects of cyber hygiene, not only did they not have the knowledge to use certain digital tools, but they were also very much prone to disinformation that spread all around the social media. And these are a couple of topics that we actually worked with at national level, within our countries, in our local languages, with specific target groups, in order to raise their awareness, but also capacity for them themselves to build their own cyber resilience. Also through the 16 e-government support centers that were established in several cities around the Western Balkans, the CSOs, through their support to over 31,000 citizens, actually worked on increasing the digital literacy of those specific marginalized groups, in parallel to, of course, supporting them to use different e-services or inspecting their demand for better quality of e-services.
In EGA, we you know, see our mission to increase nations' prosperity and openness through digital transformation. But it, like you said, very clearly explained right now, is that when we don't pay attention to questions of cybersecurity or data privacy or, you know, elementary skills to use digital tools right, or actually even have fear, you know, like you said, it might take my job, then it is the task of organizations such as EGA or Metamorphosis or our partners from other countries to be the facilitators of the of the benefits or the barriers and enablers, right, of digital transformation and everything that goes with it. So it's rather than be afraid, be prepared, you know, exactly. this sort of kind of attitude. Yeah. But Mila, tell me, what in your opinion were the biggest, like what were the biggest challenges that during these 3 years that you and our colleagues faced in the Western Balkans?
Well, quite an abundance of challenges, I must say. Well, since together with this initiative, the COVID-19 pandemic started, we immediately faced major challenges for implementation. From that, we understood the meaning of orchestrating strategies and immediately transformed the whole design of the foreseen activities into online activities. This also made us work a bit harder into how to make these online activities appealing to citizens, how to keep their attention also, how to adapt also the language that we use, because IT language and CSO language overall is not very understandable for citizens. So we had to adapt the register also that we're using. From this perspective, what we learned when it comes to activities is that we always plan the activities in hybrid forms, just in case the conditions do not allow some of the approaches. When it comes to other challenges, of course, I previously talked about the attitude or the mentality. The regulatory framework was quite a challenge. The digital literacy, the lack of digital skills to navigate in the world successfully and ethically also presented a lot of challenge in times when we were just sitting down with citizens in order for them to use an e-service and they don't have the access to a digital infrastructure, to digital tools, to stable internet. They didn't know how to open an email account, which is actually necessary for you to be able to use e-services through the national portal of e-services. And this lack of digital literacy, as I said before, was really a fertile ground for basically no resistance to disinformation or the spur of technophobia that we addressed through specific topics, public events, educational campaign, etc. Everything that had a direct link to the citizens. The capacities and the resources were also limited. And due to this lack of human capacities, mostly, it was not always easy to engage institutions in different processes and activities. The lack of data also posed a big challenge for measuring the usage of e-services and to base our advocacy on further. Like, what we found out was that Western Balkan governments do not collect data systematically on the usage of all public e-services. Keeping this database is important because it not only will we be able to see the potential progress in citizens using e-services, but institutions themselves can see which areas they need to intensify their efforts for promotion or education of citizens for usage of those services. What works, what doesn't work, based on what they can build the future e-services. And of course, addressing all of these challenges really required a multifaceted approach, where we actually involve the civil society, the policymakers, and the communities at the same table in order for us to create this environment that fosters cyber resilience, innovation, it really prepares citizens for the rapidly changing world.
Yeah, that's, I was with you in facing some of those challenges. And if I may add one more, that probably also the fact that some of the people that you worked with, particularly in public sector, change, right? I mean, one day you have a minister, next day you don't have a minister. And the question of this kind of how do you keep stable political will despite the changes among the politicians was a key question that we addressed quite a few times. And I was happy to see that at least in some countries, I'm not going to name names, but I remember that the previous minister and the next minister sort of had the same commitment to this topic, that it wasn't that, oh, I like football more, but I like basketball more, that understanding that digital transformation indeed is important. Yeah, but exactly. Mila, tell me, yeah, so that was kind of the cool thing. But one of the things I wanted to ask you a little bit about metamorphosis, that what was your own lesson or your own, what was the most valuable thing for you as an organization in North Macedonia working on those issues? You're a very experienced organization, you're a very known organization, but what added value did I said a project give to you as an organization or participating in this project.
It really built our capacities further to continue working on these objectives, although there is still a lot to be learned. You know, an organization is a living structure. People always change, and we constantly need to invest within our own organizational capacities. However, we also managed to extend our interest and activities more in depth in specific digital issues. And we managed to detect issues based on which we based all our advocacy efforts. We managed to actually learn what citizens from different communities and in different aspects needed in order for us to propose new solutions to today's problems, basically. But as this was a regional initiative, it really brought us closer to different partners with different capacities, where we managed to exchange knowledge, contacts even. We managed to bring institutions from the region and CSOs from the region at the same table in closed regional knowledge exchange meetings, first of all, where everyone could freely talk what their frank issues and obstacles for implementing different things were. So in this sense, it also elevated our role as a partner or as a mediator in this situation was, and our role as a bridge between the citizens' needs and institutional capacities and resources. There are for sure many more things that we benefited that I can't think of now, but to conclude, we spurred a change of culture among the institutions.
Right, yes.
For higher inclusion of us as a very beneficial society. And here is where EGA also supported us a lot, especially when we had the opportunity to bring our institutions and CSOs and media from the region on a study visit to Estonia, where that was a very, very beneficial experience for
and a lot of fun.
And a lot of fun, of course.
That's what my next question you were all the five partners were from the Western Balkan countries, and then EGA was, or EGA was the partner as well, but we didn't directly work in the Western Balkans. We more had a support role. And if you know, the study visit that we had in 2022 in May, when indeed, like you said, I think it was over 50 people, if not more, from both from CSOs, from public sector, from media, came to Estonia. And I also really liked those meetings and discussions that we had. I thought they were fantastic. But what was sort of, in your opinion, the main value that EGA helped to give as a partner to this project?
We relied a lot on the know-how of eGovernance Academy, because Estonia being one of the leading e-societies in EU, but especially EGA's experience in providing digital literacy trainings, expertise in methodology, which was also the basis of our Digital Agenda Observatory, which was very beneficial for us in order to identify the progress and the challenges in implementing the digital agenda in our countries. EGA or you actually supported us in designing our capacity building efforts towards different actors, the media, the decision makers, but also built our own capacities as partners and to the subgrantees that thanks to the support of EGA actually are now more prepared to better advocate our findings and the findings that they had and recommendations to better assist the institutions, the media, the citizens, all in order to create policies and e-services in alignment with the citizens' needs. Also, EGA posed many questions that at times frustrated us, because at the beginning, we really didn't have all the answers. But they were the right questions, which got us thinking. And most importantly, they got us to explore further and to act.
I also think that when I look at it from EGA side, that this project achieved much more than maybe we we hoped for or even assumed when we put this together. And I mean, in general, this kind of mind shift and culture shift among the CSOs, but also among the public sector and so on. And also what I can say just from working with you and with the other colleagues, that commitment that most partners had was truly amazing, and they're keeping, you know, now updated about how people are doing. It's really fantastic. But Mila, to conclude our podcast, let me ask you the very final question. If there are other CSOs in other parts of the world who would like to have a more invested and strategic approach and participation in digital transformation, what would you recommend them to do, or for them to do or to think about based on this experience that we had in the Western Balkans?
Learn from our experience. Always keep an open mind. Keep investing in your own capacity. Build strong partnerships with multiple stakeholders. Don't forget the international partners and their own value, but also the local ones that you have there on disposal. There is a limit to what one can do alone, but with more hands on deck, with different capabilities, the opportunities are truly limitless. Most importantly, I would say that CSOs need to base their advocacy on the needs of their own target groups and not on the donor requirements, as they're not always matched to the local reality. We're always open for exploring new partnerships if anyone is interested. So we would gladly also transfer our knowledge to anyone who would be interested. I would invite everyone to follow the initiative ITSEDA on Facebook and Twitter, as well as Metamorphosis website, where they can find very useful information and resources in different languages and English, of course. That could be very beneficial for them to build their own advocacy efforts, especially the Digital Agenda Observatory, which has a methodology that could be replicated in all of the countries, I would say.
And I would say that when we put that digital, that research part together, then we ourselves ask these questions thinking, oh, we don't actually know that. We should know that to make decisions. But and from EGA side, the conclusion of based on the ICEDA experience and working with five partners in the Western Balkan countries, working with tens of CSOs and many of your politicians and public service people, that it is absolutely clear that CSOs and public sector not only need to work together to drive social change in the societies, but also to plan this work together, that we are already sort of in this design thinking of how we are coming up with policies and services and projects, so that it's not that one side is always the initiator and the other one is the invited person, but rather design them together from the very beginning. The second key learning that I definitely realize, but I think it's in general more understandable now as well, that digital is not a tech issue. It's a cultural and social issue. It's a mindset. So we should live with it. We need to live with it. And maybe one way to look at it, for example, people think, oh, AI comes and takes my job, but maybe it actually makes your job easier. Maybe you have to work less now because all you have to do is check on AI and you can actually have half of the day off. So let's look at the positive side rather than the negative side. Yeah. And also, because digital is not a tech issue, but it's a cultural and social issue, it is not a separate thing, but it's a part of every policy and almost like part of every law, that there is maybe no need for a separate digital law, but rather look at all the existing legislation and see what can and should be updated, thinking the digital transformation. And maybe my favorite topic of all is definitely the value of stakeholder engagement and open and transparent communication, the way that digital enables us to do it, but keeping in mind that we are careful about not creating digital vulnerability and not taking for granted that everybody has the same skills, same understanding, same cyber hygiene and so on, but constantly build our own capacities, both in communication as well as in cyber and digital issues. And I believe that we can have a far better world. And of course, the last thing, that CSOs need resources to work on topics like that. And this was a very clear sign how much good 5 CSOs from Western Balkan countries could do with a limited budget from the EU, but how much more they can do when they work together with our public administration with money and budgets from countries themselves, which also shows the invested interest of the public sector, both in engagement and in digital transformation. So this was all, folks, of this podcast where we talked with Mila Josifovska-Danilovska from the Metamorphosis Foundation from North Macedonia. My name is Kristina Mend. I'm the senior expert in the E-Governance Academy. Thank you for listening to us and stay tuned for the next podcast. Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by the E-Governance Academy. Tune in next time.